Welcome back to Pearls and Swine, good news you can use. I'm Lisa here with Levi, and today we're talking about something that we don't usually think of as a discipline. A discipline of celebration? Not just a birthday party or a graduation gathering, but celebration as God designed it. We're talking about parties today? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, basically. Basically, okay. Yeah. We usually think of discipline as as work, a restriction, or sacrifice. But in the Bible, God doesn't just command that. He actually commands us to walk into the grace of celebration, to walk into this place where we connect with him in just a little bit different way. And it's a command that he does. And his people, as he gathers them together, are built to celebrate. He built celebration into the Jewish calendar. Celebration wasn't Israel's idea. It was really God's idea for them to be able to connect with each other and then connect with him.
Yeah, Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And that word delight is really a lovely word. It means to take deep joy, to find pleasure in. I think God is saying, make me your delight. Celebrate who I am, and I'll shape your desires around my goodness.
Yeah, and another psalm that kind of goes along with that is Psalm 34:8. It says, "Taste and see what the Lord is good." Celebration is one of the ways of inviting us to really to slow down, to savor, to taste his goodness. It's not just about food or music or ritual. It's about delighting in him. And if you think about something that you delight in, you spend time with it.
Coffee. I delight in coffee.
I delight in coffee also. Yeah. And there was a time where I became a coffee snob. I don't know about your house when you were growing up, but we were a Hills brother, I think.
Folgers is what we had.
Folgers is the best part of waking up.
Waking up, yeah. The best part.
But in our house, it was Hills brother. And it was, it did the trick, right?
Sure.
Put a little caffeine in the system, right. Got you going. Those type of things. But it wasn't, I think it's called Gavalia. And it was this coffee company that came up with this idea that if you ordered, it was kind of like the CD thing. Like they would ship.
Oh, yeah.
Shipment.
What was that? Yeah. UGM or something. Yeah. Okay.
They gave you a free coffee pot and then you got shipments of coffee. And I remember, I'm like, this is a great deal and you can cancel it at any time, so they say.
You still have a subscription.
Yeah, no, I don't. But I got this free coffee pot, and I remember the first cup that I tasted. It was delicious. And then I just went on this quest of like, what in the world? There's all these nuances to it, all this fruitiness, or you have this, this almost wine type tasting thing. And I'm like, this stuff is amazing.
So good for
and
my
it was,
palate.
And that stuff's like mid-range, right? Right? And then I started to get into like different apparatuses, French presses and pour overs. And I went all the way up to the line that I bought a cup of the most expensive coffee in the world. Do you know what that is?
I do not.
It is called Kupi Luwak. Oh, okay. And it comes from the civet cat. It's like this little weird possum-y raccoon thingy. And they...
What?
Yeah. And they run around the coffee trees and eat the fruit, but they only select the most ripe, best ones. And then they naturally process it. And it comes out and it looks like a corn cob.
Gross.
And the people go and they pick it up and they wash it off and clean it up and roast it. And it has this interesting flavor.
Yeah,
to it.
That's the word.
Kind of rich and dense but really
earthy.
Yeah, all of those things.
Like
but I drank this stuff and I just gross. Savoring it and kind of delighting in this thing. It's $600 a pound, just to give you a reference.
Holy Hannah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And yeah. There was something that I delighted in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what God invites us, is to delight in him, to savor, have a little Kupi Luwak with him.
Well, yeah, and I was just thinking, like, celebration definitely shifts our focus from what's missing in our lives to what God has already provided. And I was reminded of the the creation account, when God is like, this is good, this is good, this is good. He's just like over and over celebrating in what he's done and what he's made, and it's a really good thing.
Yeah, in the Old Testament, you know, you have the Big Ten, right? And he's like, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not be looking at your neighbor's donkey. All of those types of things. But right alongside that, he says, keep the Sabbath, keep this celebration, stop work, enjoy me, enjoy others, enjoy, like, just savor who I am. And then you get to Leviticus, and God lays out, like, these seven feasts. And they all mark something. They all are connected to something. They're connected to him. And so you have the Feast of Passover, which is like this incredible story of God's goodness and his grace. And they're in Egypt, and it's the last plague that happens. And the people that put the blood of the new lamb over the doorposts, the people could go under the blood, be held by the blood, and then the death angel came, and all firstborns were killed in all of Egypt, except for those families. There was a protection, there was a salvation, and it's a picture of what Jesus did for us on the cross, it being this Lamb of God, the precious Lamb of God, and his blood brings us in. And so they all point to Jesus, but they're all celebrations. There's always food, and unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost. And it wasn't just about farming. They were appointed festivals for them to savor and delight and taste and see what the Lord has done.
Yeah, and he's always inviting them to party with one another, but really to find him there. Right? In Deuteronomy, God commands 3 times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose. And so, right, that's Passover and Pentecost and Tabernacles, all those things. You got to celebrate. And when you do what I've told you to do, you're going to find me there.
Yeah. And it's like the word for festival in the Old Testament is really an interesting word. It means like sing, dance, like partay. It would be a good translation. And it is just interesting to me. Like, he commands them, like, go and do this. Like, just take a break. It's not about production. It's just about celebrating, savoring my goodness in this world and my goodness and in my provision for you. I think it's kind of one of those incredible things that God has done. And, you know, to think about, like, right along these commands that we kind of know, you shall not kill, you shall not steal. God says, you shall celebrate.
Yeah, I like that one.
Right?
Yeah.
And celebration is not an afterthought. It's really foundational. And I think that's what you're getting to in that creation account.
Yeah. Richard Foster said this, celebration is at the heart of the way of Christ. And God created festival to form his people's hearts. He gave them rhythms of feasting and music and joy to remind them of his faithfulness. And Jesus, I mean, when he's here, he's going from party to party, like house party to house party.
Yeah, well, his first miracle, his inauguration, his, like, I'm on the scene, people, was a partay. Mm-hmm. And he changes, it's really cool, this thing that they use, this water that they cleanse their hands, he changes it into wine, like 180 gallons of wine, not like just a little
the nip. Costco size.
Right. Yeah, it's like the super Costco size.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why did God design it this way? Because I think you're right. Celebration really shapes us. It builds our faith. God is faithful, and we get to see that. Every feast was a reminder that God delivered, God provided, God is with us.
Yeah, and it really does build community, because it's hard to just party by yourself, right? Everybody was invited, sons, daughters, servants, widows, everybody. You know, outsiders, like that party that Jesus went to, that first one, he was an invited guest, right? You know, everybody's invited. And
it was a command that everyone was invited.
Yeah.
And that you had to provide for them. And I think it's in Deuteronomy 16 that it talks about that. And they had to provide for everyone. And if people didn't have, you were to give to them. And if you had so much, you were to sell all your, like, you that you couldn't bring it to this place, like, to make the offering, you had to sell it and make it into silver. And then when you got there, it says, you know, make your offering. And that offering did a couple of things, or it did actually kind of three things. One, it was part of the temple and a part of the priest, how they received money and were able to do some of the things that worshiped God. The second thing is it was for widows and orphans. And then the third one was that God said, okay, I'm going to have you give this tithe, which is just means tenth, the first fruits of what you have. But I'm going to invite you to eat with me what you have given, which I've already provided for you. But I'm going to ask you to eat with me because I think it's that important. And so they were to go there. And if they had sold everything because they were so wealthy and it was too far to travel, take an ox that far, they were to buy like steaks if they wanted it or lamb if they wanted it. And then it says like buy fermented drink. Buy some wine, like celebrate good time. It doesn't say that. Never but that's right. What I'm thinking
right,
in there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking, you know, Augustine once said that the Christian should be an alleluia from the head to the foot. And I didn't know that he said that. That's pretty darn cool. But I was thinking of the song by Paul Weller. He's a British pop singer. And his song is called From the Floorboards Up. And it's the idea like from where you're dancing all the way to the top. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just continues to remind us that God is faithful when we celebrate in the past. He'll be faithful again, because I'm sure that there was times where they didn't have great crops or great yields on their animals. And yet God was faithful in providing, and celebration keeps us looking forward. And, here's the good news for us. The Old Testament festivals were fulfilled by Jesus. All of them. You can look and there's correlation between each one of those. Jesus is the bread of life. And that was one of them. It was like the harvest. You know, Jesus is the Lamb of God. It's the Passover. He is the Passover. When he went to the cross and died on it for us, his blood shed for us, it's the protection for us. Every one of them has a correlation that is in the New Testament. First fruits is the resurrection, the one who will return at the end when they had the tent of booths, like this big celebration where they made like tents out of sticks. It's like God, he's coming. God was preparing them for Jesus to come on the scene. And part of his preparation was celebration. But then the other part of it for us now is those were all fulfilled. But there is still a celebration component because Jesus is coming again.
Well, yeah, and God calls us to celebrate even now, right? Hebrews 10:25 says, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, right? So the early church began gathering every Sunday, the day of resurrection, and this is our celebration. We may not have the Feast of Tents or whatever, right, but we got Sunday gathering.
Well, because everything rests in that. All of those festivals were about Jesus. Like the Bible says that it's all about him. Every word is really about him. And those were fulfilled by him. And so the resurrection, the reason that we do it on that first day, it's all through the text, the reason that we have that first day celebration. And really, we're celebrating the resurrection. I don't want to say a mini Easter. I think it's an Easter service every Sunday. It's a day of celebration. It's not a day of guilt. It's a day of woo woo. You know, Jesus is alive, and it pushes us to that next week. And that's based in the Old Testament, the Sabbath. Like, just make it holy, make it sacred, make it something that you hold on to. Schedule it into your lives.
Well, yeah, and I suppose that's why church attendance, right, isn't. It's not just a habit, right? It's not just something that we have to do, and maybe we do need to train ourselves. I mean, it's a spiritual discipline, right? It is something more than a social club. It's something more than a habit, something that we do on Sunday. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that the physical presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer. And so when we gather, we're celebrating, like you just said, we're celebrating the resurrection every time, which is a, you know, the primary reason to celebrate.
It is. And it's also just like, it says to encourage. So if you don't feel like going to church, you're missing out on the blessing of encouraging somebody else. You're stealing someone else's blessing. Because you're there to encourage others, just as they are to encourage you, that Jesus is alive. He's well. And he is God with us. It's not just, we don't have to go to a festival in that way to remember that God is, Jesus is God with us, God in the body. He came for us and he's with us even now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess the thing is, we come to church on Sunday, but all of those feasts and whatever, parties in the Old Testament, they had food, right? I mean, what do we get food?
Well, I think, you know, every church has some rhythms that they run through, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we kind of still have feasts today. I think sometimes, you know, part of our job is we'll do a potluck or something, and people think, oh, they're doing it that for the people that have no friends.
And so, it's like me and you.
Yeah, it's not. Like, and we would not put that much effort in. And maybe that seems harsh. I don't know. Right. But those potlucks are places where we celebrate the goodness of God. Questions of like, man, what's God doing in your life? How have you seen him work? Those should be around those tables. And just like, man, as we eat, man, what's going on? How are your kids doing? Like, just catching up with each other, catching up with what God is doing in our life. We have things like welcome back lunches, you know, pizza. We have coffee and donuts in the lobby every Sunday. God still uses food fellowship to remind us of his goodness, his provision for us, that he is faithful to us. He still uses food because it's part of us delighting in him. It's part of us savoring. Even at the last kind of days, or when we get all to get to heaven, when the church is gathered, the universal church. When the universal church is all gathered, the past church, the present church, and the future church all comes together. What do?
Giant feasting party.
Just a big old banquet,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And like, we're just going to hang out and we're going to enjoy the very presence. We're going to delight. We're going to taste and see that God is good.
Yeah. And I think we often think that those moments are like extras, right? Come to the potluck if I can just add it to my schedule. But really, the moments where we can gather with other people in the body, they're actually part of God's design, right? When you sit across the table, you could ask somebody, like, where have you seen God this week? What is going on? And that's actually a way to worship, and it's a way to delight, not only in God, but in the other.
I just was thinking about this. Like, the thought of, like, if you think about Sunday morning as a celebration of the resurrection. Like, it is the greatest story ever. It's the celebration of really Easter, that Jesus is alive, that he went to the cross for us, that he died on the cross for us, and that 3 days later he rose again. Like, that thought in my head, I'm like, holy smokes, we should schedule this into our lives every week, because it's that big of a deal. God came for us. And I think what we do is, what you just said, that add-on statement kind of brought me there. Like, we don't schedule that. We schedule hockey games and work things and family vacations and all of those other things. And I'm not saying that you can't have some of those things, but it should be almost like, man, I'm going to try to get there. Or if I'm out of town, I'm going to gather with one of these other churches somewhere. Because that's what's going to happen, and we're going to celebrate together, even though I don't know all of these people. These are my brothers and sisters in Christ. It needs to be scheduled in.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that just like last week we talked about generosity, right? I think just like your your checking account shows where your heart is at, I also think your calendar does that as well.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, C.S. Lewis was talking about just the communal aspect of the celebration, the gathering. And that's what God's always doing. He's never working on scattering us. He's always working on gathering us. He always does that. He's always trying to gather his people together to worship him, to praise his name, to build community, to have relationship with each other, to check in on each other. And the New Testament doesn't envision solitary religion. Even in the United States, and I think this is a crazy thing, do you know that you used to get fined for not going to church?
What?
That's true. You can look it up. There used to be such a, like, it really early on, we're talking. If you did not go to church, I'm sure if you were sick, maybe there were some clauses, but they would, like, check and go, like, why are you not there? Because they so believed that you needed that for the society to thrive. And in God's economy, things thrive. When we care about each other, when we love each other, when we walk with each other, when we love God and we love our neighbor as ourselves. I think that might be in the Bible. I don't know.
Maybe. Right. So that's the challenge, right? We don't, maybe not treating celebration as optional. Right? God created it. He commanded it. He gave it to us to shape our hearts. So it's not really optional.
Yeah. And back to that Hebrews, do not forsake the assembly of coming together. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, but I think there's a different way. Just like we've said about all of the spiritual disciplines, if you think of it as like this obligation, this duty that you have to do, you're like, oh my gosh, I have to do this thing. It's one thing. But if you think like, what a cool room we get to go into, right? This is the party room, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I like that picture. Yeah. Who doesn't want to come to a party?
Right.
So, you know, every Sunday, it's an opportunity to come to the party, to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. When we show up, we're saying, His resurrection is worth rearranging my life for because He is the one who gave me life.
Yeah. So taste and see that the Lord is good, right? Delight yourself in Him. Make celebration a part of your rhythm because God designed it to draw us into joy.
You know what? That is good news you can use on pearls and swine. Thanks for listening to us. You can catch us on all of our social media. You can, if you have something you would like us to talk about, like you have a question about the Bible or a thought about the Bible, you can email us at office@evangelup.org, and we'll see. Maybe it'll make it on the air and make it into the podcast. And there's all kinds of stuff that you can connect with us. Our website, evangelup.org, is a great place to start. And there's all other kinds of social media stuff that you can get. This is good news you can use.